which is coming along, not for almost another week, but it really matters that we be talking about it now because there's a lot to prepare for, a lot to anticipate, is a major convention in town by ACDA, I think it's the American College Dance Association, doing a convention. And that alone is a pretty big deal, but then it became a huge deal because the opening performance next Wednesday night, the 11th, is the Mark Morris Dance Company. And so that's what we'll be talking about in a little bit. But let's kind of get into the whole issue of dance in college. And I'm joined by Suzanne Oster-Smith, head of the dance department at Gonzaga. Good morning, Suzanne.
Good morning. Thanks for having me here.
And the just right off the bat, you know, there's these things of, do you feel like the poor stepchild, and if I may get precise about this, that in terms of college performing arts departments, music departments are strong and dominate, and they're quite big. Theater departments are strong and dominate quite big. And then maybe there'll be a dance department. Maybe there'll be a dance teacher. Am I wrong in the unfortunate way it is sometimes?
I would say maybe sometimes, but there are lots of different ways that the arts manifest within university programs mm-hmm. and programming. Certainly there are some schools that have smaller dance programs or none at all. I would venture to say that the dance program at Gonzaga University is thriving mm-hmm. and is right up there with theater and with music. Mm-hmm. I would proudly say that. But it is, you know, for some people, it is one that they know maybe less about than theater and music. But we have lots going on at Gonzaga Dance, and we have an audience here in this mm-hmm. in our area that are interested in dance. We haven't had a regular producer of dance for a long time. So now we have the Gonzaga Dance Program, both educating students and providing that for the community.
And we'll mention the venue in a minute. Mm-hmm. What matter? There are so many aspects to a mm-hmm. department because there are these things. There are these ways that the department interfaces with the community and mm-hmm. creates the art form for the community. But then there's also the having the students, having the students who want to be in that discipline, whether it's for the love of it avocationally or whether they want to make that part of their artistic goals in life, their professional goals possibly. Mm-hmm. And again, I kind of hold out that is that a little tougher in the dance world? Mm-hmm. Well, the very Mark Morris we're going to be talking about pretty soon throughout his autobiography talks about the poor stepchild that dancers are in New York City, you mm-hmm. know, getting mm-hmm. the worst of the facilities and kind of having to beg for an existence. And mm-hmm. so I'm not trying to really turn you into a victim, but you do have some of these challenges, don't you, to keep dance just really, really up
yes.
there?
Yes, I would say that is the case. That's, you know, that's not my MO is to talk mm-hmm. about being the stepchild.
No,
but
I
would agree that there it's a challenging art form in some mm-hmm. ways, that the level of rigor and training that needs to happen, the number of jobs that are out there, all of that. So when we look at that as a university program, there are many university programs across the nation that are still really training students specifically for careers in performance. At Gonzaga, and yet there are way more people who love dance mm-hmm. than will have professional performing careers.
As in music, too.
Right. Well, yeah, you're right.
Yeah,
but, theater. But at Gonzaga, we're training the students not only in the technique and in the art form itself, but also in what it takes to produce it, what happens behind the scenes, how we market it, all of that. So I'm actually really, I think that our dance program in particular is thriving because of that. Our major is structured to be a double major, and I have a lot of students who are looking into arts administration and they're majoring in public relations and dance or engineering and dance or, you know, a combination that way.
Well, in all the arts, that's the new definition that
you
don't just put on blinders and do mm-hmm. your narrow definition. You do the broad definition. A really obvious manifestation, my guest Suzanne Oster-Smith from Gonzaga, of that came in Brick and Mortar when you opened the new Performing Arts Center here mm-hmm. last April. And when there's that they call, I don't even know the name of it. The musicians called it a recital hall, but there's that amazing room just on the east side of the building, which is an entire sprung dance floor over
yes.
that whole huge room. Yes. What that tells me was that a few years ago, when people were meeting and committees were formed and they were figuring out what that building was going to be, you must have had that equality and that power that you could be equal to the other two art forms.
Absolutely. Thank you for thinking of it that way. You're right, and just a floor alone. I think that the messaging with the beautiful new Myrtle Woldson Performing Arts Center has really been that it is for music and theater and dance, for those three art forms right there. And you're right, it is. We do call it the recital hall, but half of the day it's spent with dance classes in there. We have mirrors and bars, and it's a wonderful dance studio for us. We had maxed out with the other lovely studio that we have next door, and so for us to be able to expand our classes and having multiple classes happening at once has been a phenomenal growth for the program.
And this is the dance program at Gonzaga. And so then I'm going to again project and guess that out of that same energy, out of the fact that the building just opened, out of the fact that it had that fabulous room that sure you wanted to show off, that had something to do with landing the ACDA, the American College Dance Association convention here.
Absolutely. So I've been taking students to ACDA conferences for 17 years. I served on the national board for 6 years, and it was about 5 years ago. I've always wanted to host one of these conferences, but we didn't have the facility, we didn't have the ability. About 5 years ago, I started really hearing, we got the new Hemmingson Center, and then when I heard that we were going to get a new Performing Arts Center, I put our hat in the ring. A little scary to do when it was a parking lot. There wasn't even a hole in the ground yet, and I got it. And so I've really spent the last 4 years preparing for this, and the building has not even been open a year yet. It is that Performing Arts Center which really allows us to be able to host this. Now, I will say that's not the only place that things are happening on campus.
No.
We have 12 different buildings across campus in which dance classes are happening. So even though we only have two official dance studios for the dance program, there are 12 classrooms that will be filled with dance next week.
And again, I'm holding off the big event for a couple more minutes about performances, because a convention interests me in who are the people who benefit for the convention. Is it the gathering of the teachers and the administrators so that they can learn from each other, or to what extent are the dance students from the entire region brought in for that? Tell me a little
you
bit
bet.
More about the objectives.
Yes, and I would say all of the above. I mean, for the American College Dance Association, these conferences are really bringing we have an 8-state region. It's bringing the universities. We're bringing 31 universities are going to be represented at this conference, over 500 people. And it's a chance for, yes, students to see each other's work, to take classes from other faculty, from other universities. It is a major networking opportunity for the faculty to see each other's. But the way the conference is structured is not only do we have classes, but then there'll be 9 different concerts that will be presented. So it's a chance for the students to perform in front of each other, and particularly in the adjudicated concerts, we will have 3 professionals from the field that will watch these concerts and then respond to the work. And the model for this conference is really interesting in that they don't know what the schools are or if it was a faculty or student. They respond to the choreography, not the choreographer, and the dance, not the dancer. And they do that publicly. And so everyone gets to learn from their perspectives of what's seen. So there's many levels. There's also research papers that are presented, et cetera, et cetera.
What you just described about that judging sounds like a real world.
Yes.
That you're creating.
Yes, real world, absolutely. And real world, and yet for college students, maybe a different real world. They may come off the stage and all their peers tell them that was the greatest thing they've ever seen in their lives, and that feels great. But it is different when a professional from the field watches something and says, you know, I have a question about this, or could you have done this differently? It's terrific learning for everyone. And also, I would say when I've brought choreography for students to hear my work being adjudicated and then to watch how I respond to that. Do I get defensive and angry, or do I see that as a way to learn? So it's a great conference to be a part of.
This conference, which is the 11th through the 15th, or the 14th, I guess, opening on the 11th with the real Eminem, Mark Morris. And And, you know, there's two sets of people in the world. There's the people who, for whatever reason, know who and what Mark Morris is, and you say Mark Morris is coming to town, and they fall over in a dead faint. And,
yes.
and then there's everybody else who says, who or what is this person, Mark Morris? And how does one even try to describe who or what Mark Morris is? I'll open by saying he's a really big deal. He is the big deal.
I love hearing it from your mouth because he is a big deal. And yeah. I think sometimes people look at me and they think, come on, Suzanne, what are you talking about? Yeah. He's a big deal. Yes, it was when we realized that we were accepted to host this conference and when we thought about what do we want to do differently at Gonzaga. As I said, I've been to many universities who've hosted. We really highlighted the fact that our theme is dance as service. And that's what we do at Gonzaga. That's something special, a different way of looking at the art form.
Say that again.
What? Dance as service. And what that means at Gonzaga is, in addition to all the study of the art form, we have programs like our Dance for Parkinson's program, where students learn from these classes within the community. We have a free after-school dance program called Zag Dance. And again, students are learning by serving and teaching in this program. So looking at how dance, yes, can serve a question or an idea or a thought or a motive, but it can also serve the greater good. And what is that about? So because Dance for Parkinson's is our program that we have there, we were all of our professional instructors for that course were trained through the Mark Morris pedagogy. They were really the founding company of Dance for Parkinson's. And so I thought, wow, wouldn't it be great if we brought Mark Morris? And it seemed impossible, and so that made me want to do it all the more. And sure enough, we are bringing them. And not only are we bringing Mark Morris Dance Company to perform, but we're also bringing David Leventhal, and we're going to have a national training in the Dance for Parkinson's pedagogy happening simultaneously as the ACDA conference.
And so, in Mark Morris, in addition to the opening concert on Wednesday night, is he also going to participate in any way, or does he have to take off right back to New York, or is he then going to bring his experience and expertise to what you just described?
Thank you. Yes, he will be here for that opening concert, mm-hmm. and I think he has some other engagements, but he mm-hmm. won't be involved in the conference beyond that. David Leventhal, who is really the specialist in Dance for Parkinson's, will take over from there.
So then Mark Morris, the quick overview, he was from Seattle and rose quickly and in almost no time became the was hired by a major ballet company in Brussels, I believe, mm-hmm. And as with almost every part of Mark Morris's life, has had fabulous controversy of wild acceptance and wild criticism happening all the way through, and then he's continued all over, and I think based in New York mm-hmm. right now, and done so many things. We're going to bring out one of his and collaborations with just about everybody. And then I'll get done with my part by saying that we in the music world so admire him because Mark Morris is absolutely rooted deeply, deeply, deeply in the music, and it all comes from the music, which is for those of us outsiders. It doesn't matter what style, form, or whatever the dance is, because it is completely motivated by what the music is. Mm-hmm. But talk from your dance perspective, how you describe Mark Morris.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, he is iconic, and it's for the students. We've had lots of conversations because they study him in our dance history courses and what his impact has been. I think that, you know, so many of his works, when the people who fall over when I mention Mark Morris, they are always quick to talk about what their favorites, what favorite pieces they've seen, how many times they've seen him. I had a woman recently saying that Grand Duo is her favorite. She's already seen it four times, and that's one of the pieces they're bringing here to Spokane. So it is for within the dance world, he is really, you know, he's such a character too. He's his recent biography autobiography came out, and it's just written. It helps us understand, right, what a character he is and how he does what he does. And he cares about the music and he cares about his dancers. And he doesn't necessarily care to have to describe why he does what he does. He just does it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was a little scared that he might want to, that you might want to suggest I interview him, because the first page of his autobiography says he hates to describe process.
Yep, yep, exactly. Well, and quite frankly, we're going to have a post-show discussion for the performance and the debate right now, and we'll see what the company says. But it was going to be for two dancers, and now they're talking about maybe it being Mark, and so it could be interesting either way.
Yeah. And so, continuing, well, let's take a little digression here, because he's done all these many, many collaborations in every possible way, any musician around, and he has a few favorites, the that West Coast contemporary musician that's now dead, that, anyway, I'll think of his name in a minute. But he was one of several people that got together with Yo-Yo Ma when Yo-Yo Ma wanted to do the six Bach cello suites and do each of them in a different art form. And so suite number three, called Falling Downstairs. Have you ever had a chance to see that video?
I've seen clips of it. Yes, yeah. Absolutely. I think this is perfect to play.
Yeah, and so we're gonna play the Allemande, which feels to me kind of Mark Morris-y, but what can you say about how Mark Morris did that thing with Yo-Yo Ma?
Yes, I think that with listening to the music, to imagine yourself as a dancer, perhaps, I don't know if I can be brazen enough to say, imagine yourself as Mark Morris. Wherever you are listening to this music, how does your body respond to it? Because that's what he does. He makes manifest what that music is on the stage. Thank you.
Yo Yo Ma playing the Elemann from the third Bach cello suite from a project he did in which he took each Bach cello suite and collaborated with a completely different artist in a completely different art form. And in the third suite, it was with Mark Morris, and it was then they ended up naming it Falling Down Stairs. My guest, Suzanne Oster-Smith, who is right very much in the middle of what we've been talking about. If you're just joining us, it's the American College Dance Association convention, which begins next Wednesday the 11th and runs through Saturday the 14th and opens with the Mark Morris Dance Group in a performance at the brand new Myrtle Waldson Theater, which is, as I like to describe so nobody gets confused and goes downtown, is the theater on the southwest corner of the Gonzaga campus. And the famous phone number,
313-2787. Yep.
Yeah. And so this was also part of the collaboration that you were able to pull off, because sometimes these conventions, it's a closed shop and nobody else gets to go in. But you have made some provision that the people of Spokane can encounter him and many other aspects of this convention. So tell me about that.
Absolutely. Now, we're really excited to have all of this happening. And also with that incredible gift that was the Myrtle Waldson Performing Arts Center, our conference itself has about 550 people, as I mentioned, coming from around the region and the country. But we have additional seats because we will have 690 seats in the Performing Arts Center. And so we decided that to have parts of the conference available to the public would really be wonderful. Of course, we do have limited seating available for the Mark Morris concert. And what we decided was to create it into a patron pass. So there are the four adjudicated concerts, as I mentioned before, where the universities are bringing their work to show. And then the adjudicators in the end choose 10 of those pieces to show again Saturday night at the gala concert. What's interesting about that is after that, they deliberate and they choose the one or two that will be shown on the national stage that will represent our region. So even though we have lots more being offered as part of the conference than that, we realized that we could really offer those six concerts to the public. Now we know not everyone, I mean, I'll be at all six, but not everyone will go to all six. And so it's truly a patron pass where someone can support the conference, go see the concerts that work into their lives. Mm-hmm. And I've talked with many people who said, yeah, I'm getting the patron pass. And can I just get the Mark Morris? And then when they realize that, no, it's this pass, then they're saying, okay, well, I'm going to go to Mark Morris. I'll go to the gala at the end. And then they can give the pass, because it is a lanyard pass that they can give to their neighbor who loves dance. And then they can try out the Thursday programming. So we wanted to make it as flexible as possible and yet also available. So it's $150 for six concerts. Mm-hmm. Kind of a steal.
Yeah. And so that at this point, so close to conference, that's done through the box office at the Myrtle Waldson Theater at the Fox, which would be that 313-2787 number. Do they keep the box office open during the day for walk-ups?
Absolutely. Okay. Monday through Friday, it's open noon to 5 every week. So for walk-ups or phone call, the Myrtle Waldson at the Gonzaga campus, yes.
Okay, so that would be really easy for somebody just this afternoon to rush over there, because you're only going to have something like 100 passes or something available.
Absolutely.
And so it's a very limited number.
And I would encourage also people to come to one of those other concerts, because there is something about university dancers and their enthusiasm and drive and energy. It really will be a thrill to see all that.
All right, Suzanne Oster-Smith, and very much what we're talking about this convention, and certainly centering around Mark Morris. Other aspects about Mark Morris, of course, in the modern world, all you have to do is Google him and you can find examples of his work. Probably his most famous piece, for obvious reasons, is The Hard Nut, which was the way he renamed the Nutcracker, the Tchaikovsky Nutcracker. Mm-hmm. And again, done with great love and care relative to the exact thing of the music, even if the staging and the characters and things are very, very different than one expects. It is so motivated by the music. And I've seen pieces of it just kind of coming along on videos. I know our engineer, Jerry Olson, who has been the tuba player of an orchestra in California has often played it and said that it's really a treat to play it. Because also, Mark Morris is known for wanting the music exactly how he wants the music.
And
he knows.
Absolutely. It was not a question we could not have recorded. I mean, he is flying his musicians from Brooklyn for the live music. Absolutely.
Good. Thank you for mentioning that. Because, that's a big deal. They don't dance to recordings.
No, or rarely. I think if they have to.
Or here or there. But
no, but that was part of it, was for us to figure out and the tuning of the piano and having everything ready for these professionals coming.
That's Mark Morris Dance Group opening it on next Wednesday, the 11th, and then the other five concerts available. And then probably just by Googling the Gonzaga Dance Department, they can get on your newsletter or whatever.
Absolutely. Yeah. gonzaga.edu/dance. All kinds of information there. And I can also be reached just at dance@gonzaga, that email, dance@gonzaga.
Suzanne Ostra-Smith, the head of the dance department at EWU. What a treat. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And thanks for having me. I think we're all going to see more and more dance opportunities coming forward with this building, with the thriving program. So thank you for having me on so we could talk about this.
Absolutely. Mark Morris, only time that some of us know that he came to Spokane was in the early 1980s when he had taken a Beethoven chamber work, an early Beethoven trio for clarinet, cello, and piano. And he said it, and he did it with dancers from Spokane Ballet. So he came over, and it became a local production. And that was when everybody around here got to know Mark Morris. They did it at Whitworth, and it was a really significant performance, what he did with that Beethoven trio.